Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show, Blog Talk Radio Show, on every evening of the week at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11. And this show is a show geared to honest discernment and intellectual honesty, and we're not interested in media, hypermedia, falsehoods, etc., or propaganda, or the big lie. We're interested in facts and truth and getting at the facts and truth. Now, tonight I want to say that I have given an introduction about myself and my background many times, and I will briefly do it again. I'm going to talk about heaven and hell and why Christians believe in heaven and hell and what it means. First of all, this is a politically incorrect show. We're not interested in political correctness. We're not interested in media hype, media falsehoods, or the big lie. We're not interested in those things. We're not interested in media hype or political rhetoric. We're interested in getting at the facts and getting at the truth. This is a Christian show. In other words, I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and I adhere to the creeds of the church as the guide to my faith, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed, and I adhere to the great Christian writings of the past, St. Augustine, St. Paul, which may be found in the New Testament, St. Augustine, Bonhoeffer, Calvin, Luther, Bunyan, John Bunyan, T.S. Eliot, G.K. Chesterton, any of the greats are available for you and me to read and reflect on. And John Milton is one of my favorites. In his great epic poem, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained, and Samson Agonistes, which he all wrote when he was blind, such was the power and strength of his intellect that in blindness he wrote one of the great epic poems of all time. I'm going to now talk about, I do have to close a political element. I'm basically conservative. But I have great concern for poverty and underclass people, and I don't think Jesus wants people poor, and he wants an equal distribution of wealth if possible, and he wants us to share our wealth, I think, as much as we can. I think Jesus chose his disciples workingmen and tradesmen. Not the educated, not the wealthy, not the greats, but the humble working men. These are the people who chose to be his followers. And they say it is said that many of his followers were sinners, mainly ritual law and moral sinners. And it was said of him, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? They couldn't understand why he was associated with these dregs. It was also said of him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That is what Jesus was all about. He identified with the poor. He himself came in poverty. He lived a life of poverty, and the monastic orders that followed him adopted that poverty of life, which he presented in his life. The two radio shows I host, a podcast show and a Blog Talk Radio show, which is this one. These shows are Christian shows, and I welcome, by the way, let me make it quite clear, I welcome all faith and talking to all faiths at all times. Jesus has love for all men and women, races, all sexes, all sexual, whatever their sexual orientation, he exhibits his great, great love. And he wants all men to be with him in the joy of heaven, if possible. All men and women, regardless of their race, regardless of their religion. I make no judgment on people's religion. My only concern is living the love of Christ and presenting it to the other religions. And I await their thoughts and response in that respect. I also have written books, 10 books, Christian books and legal books, 2 legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2. I also have written Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, and a book on the Psalms. The book on the parables I think you'll find interesting because it presents the reality of Christ's thoughts in terms of to us in the parables, which are quite profound and quite deep and well worth reading many, many times. As I say the same of my book on the Psalms, an interpretation of all 150 Psalms. The Psalms are the great, great spiritual treasures of the church. They are the prayers of men and women in the church, and they are irreplaceable and unbelievably great, and they are also represent the lyric poetry heritage of the Jewish nation at that time. They're great lyric poetry, they're great spiritual thoughts. The Psalms, you can't read the Psalms more often than you are able to because they are so great. Whoever wrote the Psalms was a living genius, and the parables exhibit the living genius of Christ as he tells us and advises us in many things in many ways. So more to the point, the Psalms are the genius of thought, of spiritual thought, and they are most important, great lyric poetry. I read them in Hebrew in seminary, some of them. I enjoyed it, and I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen, you choose to read anything in translation, I can tell you, you'll tire of anything more easily than tire of the Psalms. I'm one never tire of the English translation of the King James Bible of the Psalms. They are unbelievable. They are irreplaceable. They are great, great pieces of lyric poetry and spiritual thought. Next, I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written one chapter of that. I'm writing a book on my 4 blogs, philosophical, theological, political, etc. I'm writing 4 blog books based on my 4 sets of blogs. I'm writing a book on the book of Job in the Bible. Job is one of the great, great books of the Bible. He was an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish, but he made it into the Hebrew canon. And it's a great narrative. And Edie was an Edomite, and the book of Job represents the testing and trials of this Edomite by God. Job was a great book, and it is well worth reading with great attention. I've written a book on Race Gestae, a chapter on evidence and Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've written a chapter in New York Family Law and Practice on paternity. I've also written a chapter in the Legal Encyclopedia, New York Jurisprudence, on criminal law demands and notices. And I've written 3 major law review articles, the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, a survey article, support by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court, and support by many universities throughout the world. And also I have written two articles on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, one on the United States educational system, which I see is failing our young people unbelievably. And also I wrote a article on Academicus on sexual orientation discrimination. I abhor discrimination, and I want no part of it, though I don't particularly agree with my dear gay brothers and sisters with their lifestyle. I have no desire to persecute them or pull them down as human beings. I wish to do that to no one. Next, I'm going to talk about, what I'm going to talk about today is very briefly, is heaven and hell. These concepts derive from the idea that there will be a final judgment by Christ. He will return and he will judge people. Now, we know a little about how this judgment works. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man ends up condemned because he ignores the plight of the poor man by his table and doesn't help him. And also, in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 23. I'll check it later. In Matthew 23, Jesus presents the idea of a judgment based on your life. If you have visited the poor, the people in jail, if you have given them food to eat, etc. So, there is quite a bit of discussion in the Bible about judgment. And what are we going to say about heaven and hell? First of all, heaven really is the joy, living with the joy and love of Christ. It is the outcome, not reward. Reward is a bad word. God is not rewarding people. Their lives have an outcome. The outcome of a life of faith and love and concern for others, the outcome of that behavior is sharing the love of Christ in heaven with the angels and archangels and saints of the past. That's what heaven is. Heaven is not a reward. It's not something that God is giving to people because they're good, although that may be an element of it. Heaven is really concerned with an outcome. It is what can happen. It is what happens when we live a good life, when we live a life in Christ and of faith. When we do that, then we are given a life in heaven. And heaven is, it's a supernatural concept. But it is the reality of heaven is the sharing and communion of love with God and his angels and the saints of the past. That is what heaven is. It's not being given something. It's not getting something. It's the life that can be given to, that can come to us if we live a Christian life or whatever life we choose of goodness. But then there's the other element of, and there's a judgment, and the judgment will be where people go to heaven for their goodness of their lives and their faith, and the ones that do not have this faith or have not lived good lives, we are told that they may be condemned. This is an unfortunate concept. Origen, one of the great church fathers, the Greek fathers of the past, believed in universal salvation and had a problem with condemning people to hell. So let's try to understand how people can be condemned. Because I think the idea is that in some sense, God is a God of justice. He is a God of love, and that's what God is all about. He's a God of love, but he is a God of justice, and his justice is so important that he had to send his son to die for humanity by reason of that justice. God is a God of justice. He wants to right the scales. He sent his son to die for humanity because something had to be done to right the scales, to make things just. And God is a God of justice. And so if people persist in evil, if they persist in living a bad life, if they persist, most important, in rejecting Jesus and rejecting his offer of salvation, we are told that these people may be, I'm not sure they will be, there's a potential they may be condemned to eternal suffering in hell. Now, hell is presented with a place of flames and torture and eternal death. I think that hell is really a matter of being cut off from the love of God and Christ. It is a matter of loneliness. It is a matter of isolation. It is not a matter of eternal torture. That's an idea. It's a concept. And I don't think that's really what hell, if it exists, and I don't know if anybody's there. I hope I won't go there. I sincerely hope so, although I have concluded for some years that I may deserve it, and many people, if they give the matter thought, will reach the conclusion that they deserve to be condemned for their selfishness, for their self-love, for their arrogance and for their egotism. Many people, in fact, deserve hell. And I deserve hell. But I think that God does forgive us, and he loves us, and I'm not sure he's going to send people to hell. But he does say that if we live a life of arrogance, of egotism, of cruelty, of self-love, and of selfishness, there's the potential that we can be condemned to the loneliness, isolation, and unloving existence of being in hell, cut off from God, cut off from Christ, cut off, most important, cut off from love. That is really what hell is all about, being cut off from the love of God and love of Christ, having no love in your life. And it can happen. We are told that the potential exists for being for condemnation, and we are also told that if we don't live a loving life with our neighbor, as in Matthew 23, we don't live a life of love, that is visiting people in prison, clothing the naked, giving food to people. If we don't do that, we don't help people in our lives, we could be, as it says in Matthew 23, we could be condemned to eternal isolation and eternal death. I think the awful thing about hell is that it never ends. It's eternal. And we don't know exactly who goes there or why people go there, but you can say this much about it. It's eternal, and it lasts forever. And it is, I think, the absence of love. It is the presence of loneliness. It is the presence of isolation. It is the presence of rejection. It is a presence of a life without love. Because a life without God and Christ is a life without love. And that was Lucifer's choice. He didn't want to be under God. He didn't want to be obedient. He wanted to be top dog. He wanted to be important. And therefore he was cast out of heaven for that reason. Because he had a great desire to be superior, to be important to God. And that is not the relationship to the Creator. The relationship is one of service. And most of all, ladies and gentlemen, let me quote to you again, Book 2 of Paradise Lost, the most profound statement of Satan's, the satanic predicament, the predicament of the rejection of Christ, and the predicament of taking up evil and selfishness and self-love. Satan says in Book 2 of Paradise Lost, better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. The Christian life is a life of service, help, and love. Satan wanted no part of it. He rejected it. And he said, John Milton said, he had him say this, and it was a tremendously significant statement, better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. I'm going to talk about this, heaven and hell, tomorrow night, but I'll give you an indication of what I think is involved here. And I hope you've given some food for thought to what I said here. I'm going to talk about it again tomorrow night. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk. Night.